Not that old peace is calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. My interviews are done in the studio of Planet FM or via Zoom. Today I've invited Brother Kieran to a Zoom recording for a broadcast. Brother Kieran, a very warm welcome and hi to our radio program.
Kia ora, Beate.
Brother Kieran Fenn is a Champagnat brother and Bible scholar. He is originally from Gisborne and has spent many years in adult education, teaching scripture in New Zealand and abroad. We have had two beautiful series in the beginning of the year about the passion narratives and the resurrection narratives in all four gospels. Now we asked people what they would be interested in for the next series, and the result was people would like to know more about the Psalms. So in July, Brother Kieran will start with a series of four sessions on the Psalms. Brother Kieran, what is your experience with the Psalms? What has it been?
Well, actually, you're talking to an old English teacher, and I had 16 years teaching senior literature. So I've always loved poetry. And my experience with the Psalms, well, 15 times I was asked to go to Fiji to introduce the young religious, the interreligious group, to the Psalms. And it was quite beautiful. There's music in their veins, these young Pacificans. And the different types of Psalms, they would have to take eight lines from a number of psalms. They might be hymns of praise, and they might be laments. They had to write these down. They can use some of their own words. And then they put it up on a big piece of paper, and then they composed a tune to sing these songs to. And then they taught them to the rest of the group. And it was just wonderful. You'd have about four or five different groups of young religious, and they would be singing their hearts out, whether it's hymns of praise or laments, and teaching them. So that was a beautiful introduction.
Brother Kieran, you just mentioned a key word, singing, because often some people don't connect psalms with singing. So can you just quickly comment on psalms and singing?
Well, the very language, of course, is interesting, because when you come to psalms, the Samoi, the very words tell us that they are songs to be sung. And the music, often you get a little note at the top to tell you this is to be sung to the tune of a particular song. So, yes, they are liturgical songs. They were the hymns of the temple at one stage, the Second Temple period. So, yes, they are to be sung. And the psalms of the liturgy, sometimes we don't have enough of the psalms of lament, because often in the history of the church, there have been many things to be lamented. So, yes, we have hymns of praise. Well, if the hymns of praise, they had to be sung. They come from the heart. That's the history and the background.
Thank you for clarifying this.
Right. So, yes. So that was a wonderful experience. And then when I got to Manila and was teaching for 6 years there, I had a phone call, and they had about 60 to 80 novices from a whole lot of different orders. They were all young women religious. And they asked me if I would take a week on the Psalms. They gave me 3 months warning, and I think I needed it. But I used the same process of breaking them up into groups. And I'll always remember some of these novice mistresses can be from the old school and formation, and watching these young women, and especially the one I have, I remember, is one conducting a group of sheep, right, and leading them in "The Lord is my shepherd." And it was just so beautiful to watch the expression on the faces of the novice mistresses as they saw this sheer enjoyment of the Psalms. And I just, the Psalms are to be enjoyed. So, yes, that was a great challenge. But at about that stage, I came across a book called 101 Questions on Wisdom Literature. And the very first comment on the Psalms was, how can we pray what we don't understand? And that has always been a big question with me, because you know, I'm old enough to have begun praying the little office of the Blessed Virgin in Latin. And while I can remember Negrissum sed formosa or Oculi omni mente spirit domine, after a few years learning what those words mean and praying the Psalms in English in the office, I've always loved the line that the Bible speaks to us, but the Psalms speak for us. Mm. So, yes, and then when I got to Lower Hutt, when I returned from 6 years teaching in the Philippines, I had the wonderful experience of being asked to be chaplain to the chaplains when they had the national gathering of the hospital chaplains. And I'd come across this wonderful article on the Psalms as therapy. And it was a whole new area to create the prayers that began the day and to be chaplain to the chaplains through the use of Psalms in their ministry. So it's been a wonderful journey.
That is interesting. That is interesting what you say, that the Psalms are like for a healing. And yes. When you listen to songs today, when I did old French, for example, the first written literature was songs about a love that you couldn't reach. And if you listen today to the music, you still have a lot of songs about a love that you couldn't reach. So it is lamenting, or it's dreaming, longing for. And I think that's when people get very poetic, because then when they are so busy at life, they don't have the time to write a song.
Isn't it wonderful to realize what you just said was the very first piece of poetry in the Bible, when God said, "It is not good for the earth creature, the Ha-Adam, to be alone." So when God creates a companion, the first lines of poetry from the Bible are, "This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called Isha, woman, because she is taken from Ish, man." The first bit of poetry. And one third of the Bible is in poetry.
Ooh.
Well, look at the books that are written entirely in poetry. The book of Proverbs. All poetry, the Song of Songs. I'll always remember a young lad and a young woman in one of my classes, Introduction to the Old Testament. I came in and he was reading the choicest pieces of the Song of Songs to this lovely young woman. They're now married with, I think, two or three children. So it's got this great power in the Song of Songs. And we've just finished the book of Sirach, Ecclesiastes, Kohelet. No, sorry, this is the other one. We had Ecclesiasticus. But Ecclesiastes, the book Kohelet, that's again poetry. Only seven books in all the Bible are without poetry. Oh. And some of the greatest pieces of the Bible are actually in poetry. What about the Song of Songs, sung at the sea to celebrate the Exodus? the Song of Miriam, actually. It's called Song of Moses. But remember, Moses said that I'm slow of speech. I send anybody but me on this mission. And he had to have Aaron as his spokesperson. And then he'd get this beautiful long song on his lips. Well, actually, Miriam was allowed the chorus, but I think the whole poem belonged to her. And the chorus, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider, he is thrown into the sea. So, and then the Song of Moses, of course, that we find in the book of Deuteronomy. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. And then the Song of Deborah. Oh, I love Deborah as a character in the book of Judges, where we have that beautiful line, most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. She struck Sisera a blow. She has crushed his head. Yes, it's a poetic expression of a rather rough and brutal act. But it continues. The Song of Hannah, beautiful. Most blessed of, my heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. And the Song of Hannah, of course, is the background to the Song of Mary, the Magnificat. And then David's Song of Deliverance. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my shield, the horn of my salvation. And it's so interesting that so often those images come into other psalms. My rock, my deliverer. And then we have Ezekiah. He was a good king, but he was going to die early. He prayed to God and he was given an extra number of years. The living, thank you as I do this day. And fathers, make known to their children your faithfulness. The songs that celebrate the faithfulness of God. And then another one of my favorites is Habakkuk, that little book of prophets where Habakkuk stands up in his tower and surveys the sweep of history and questions the justice of God. Why do these things happen? Habakkuk is a very good book for anybody who's asking why things are going on. What is happening? I have heard of your renown. Yes, indeed. And then what about Jonah in the belly of the great fish? Ooh, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and out of the belly of Sheol I cried. Jonah, there's a marvelous prayer there in the psalm. So yes, the Bible is full of songs and psalms.
And it also looks like what Father Kevin Whitey always says, there's nothing new under the sun.
These, well, line of poetry.
these questions that people ask today, they've all been asked by people in the Bible, like what you mentioned with Habakkuk, and that Habakkuk was asking, how could this happen? And why did God allow this and that? It is the same question that is asked today.
Well, what about our friend Job? Job, of course, asked, and all the questions, why are these things happening to me? I have not done wrong. And then, of course, the beautiful answer, who is this when God does pay Job the favor of answering? Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? And I love the way that God sort of doesn't answer the question, but like a good schoolmaster says, these are the questions and answers you should have been seeking. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined the measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst from the womb? This creation, have you commanded the morning? Have you entered the springs of the sea? Have you seen the deer give birth? It's the God of creation. This is one of the most beautiful books about creation. And what are the aspects of Psalms? The great actions of God the creation itself, then, of course, the Exodus, the way that God delivered them, the celebration of the God of creation and the God of history, the God who gives the growth to the earth, the plants, everything that is celebrated in poetry.
Isn't that wonderful? And I think that poetry is supported if you either have somebody who can recite it or read it properly as poetry, or if even better, if one person or the whole congregation at Mass can sing it. Because then it makes real poetry, and rather than just reading it as if it was a prose.
Well, then you come to that interesting question of what are your favorite psalms? And of course, that's another great topic which can be dealt with. But again, my own favorite is Psalm 8, that wonderful psalm of creation. And I can remember lying on the sand in Timnah on the way to Mount Sinai, and looking up at the sky, when I look at the heavens, the work of your hands, when you see stars, a constellation is completely different from the one at home.
Yes.
When I look at the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have arranged, what are we that you keep us in mind, mortals that you care for us? You've made us a little less. Oh, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that make their way through the waters. Oh, Lord, our God, how great. I mean, there's so much that the Bible speaks to us. The Psalms speak for us. Out of the depths, I've cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be turned. So on, you know, it just, you know, you find in the Psalms the expressions of the soul.
That is a wonderful saying, and that you find in the Psalms the expressions of your soul. It's about the feelings of the people.
Yes, yes. But I've also loved the cataloging of the Psalms as the glad, mad, and sad Psalms. Because that's the expression of human emotions, sad, mad, and glad. And it's covers the field, right?
Brother Kieran, when we come to the sessions that we are going to offer, the four-part series, why did you choose four?
Well, because I sort of looked through and, well, four is what we're a pattern we've been following, right?
Yeah.
And the first series is on psalms that we pray when everything's going well. The Psalms, when life is oriented in the right direction. This is Walter Brueggemann wrote this wonderful book that I sort of turned into a psalm presentation. And Psalms of orientation. Oh, life is wonderful, you know, and everything is going smoothly. So we sing these songs of orientation. And then all of a sudden, something tragic happens. See, these are life experiences. Maybe the death of someone close to you, and your whole world feels as though it's been shattered. This whole experience of disorientation. And then you struggle through this time of when life feels so bad. And then finally, something new happens. The issues are lifted. Somehow you come to live, pick up your life, and begin again. So this is the Psalms of new orientation. And this is life. Orientation, disorientation, when the bottom drops out of your world, and then new orientation when somehow things begin again. So that's the first session. And then we need to understand something about the different types of Psalms. Because, you know, so many of the Psalms are the Psalms of lament. And they could be the psalms of the individual. They could be the psalms of the community. And so we have individual hymns. I just like to simplify these things to I H for individual hymns and CH for community hymns. IP, individual praise. CP, community praise. And community lament, CL, individual lament, IL. So that's, those are some of them. And there were wisdom psalms. There were royal psalms. So there's, all of this helps to get us to, if you understand what you're praying and you know how to pray it, right? So okay. the third series was, let's see now, that was to be, well, I did want to look at the whole category of
Well, we are going to, so these are the two first ones, and we are going to do interviews on each series beforehand. So what we'll do is, before we start with the first session, which will be on the 5th of July, so the Friday before, we'll talk about, in the radio program, about orientation.
Good.
Then the Friday afterwards, we'll talk about the different types of psalms. And then you will hear what else we are talking about afterwards.
All good. Keep psalms. Now, I know when we're going to have the pilgrimage psalms.
Yes.
Good psalms of ascent. And they're good because life is a journey. And sometimes it's nice to have these psalms of pilgrimage from the beginning through to the farewell at the end.
Yes. And many pilgrims, they sing during the pilgrimage.
Oh, yes. You've got to sing when you're journeying together. Yes, definitely. It sounds like our church journey, doesn't it?
Yes. And Father Chris Skinner composed a beautiful song about We Are Pilgrims.
Good.
On his CD about the songs from the Holy Land. And that's a beautiful song. So Father Chris Skinner did write songs about this. He composed songs around psalms. So this will be part of our series that we'll have at each session, one hymn or one song by Father Chris Skinner, and so that we are used to having the music around.
Good. I remember the third one now is the seven penitential psalms. And that's a great, they've got a great history in the church, the penitential psalms. I always loved the story of Galileo's daughter. See, when Galileo upset Rome, he was given the punishment of having to say the seven penitential psalms every day. He had two daughters who were nuns. One of them came and said, "Dad, don't worry about it. I'll pray them for you." So, and then, of course, when Galileo died and was buried in the sort of in the church, they put the body in there. And many years later, when Galileo was kind of reinstated, they decided that they would celebrate Galileo, and they opened up the grave to get out the bones, and they found his daughter's bones had been put in there as well.
Oh, and really?
The daughter who prayed the penitential psalms for him every day. So, again, there's something beautifully poetic about all of the story of Galileo's daughter. Right?
So also, if you don't find the right words, you can always refer to the Psalms and go back to the Psalms. And if you don't find the right words, you can quote from the Psalms.
Well, the Bible speaks to us. The Psalms speak for us.
Right. That is wonderful said. So the Book of Psalms, is the arrangement that you mentioned, is that how the Book of Psalms is arranged?
Well, you've got 150 Psalms. And they're actually arranged in five books. And those books, they have different thematic things and different names associated with them. So you've got a five-book Pentateuch. So somehow these five books possibly are arranged. They've been arranged by someone much later on. So you'll find that the first book goes from 1 to 41. And there's always a kind of an ending after them. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel for all eternity and forever. Amen, amen. So that signals book one has finished. Then you have book two that goes from 42 to 72. And that ends also with a line, the prayers of David, son of Jesse, are ended. So you get a kind of, you get signals at the end of each of these five books. The third book goes from 73 to 89, and then you get 90 to 106, 107 to 150, that's where we get our Psalms of Ascent, the pilgrimage psalms in that last book. And one of the things we always have to watch is the numbering. You'll often find this psalm will be numbered. One psalm will have a number, and then it'll have a second number in brackets after it. And one of the issues was at the time that the Bible was translated into Greek, somewhere around the 3rd century before Christ, you have a Hebrew version and a Greek version. And then the Greek version, the Septuagint, the Catholic Church tended to follow the numbering of the Greek translation. Protestant churches have always stayed with the Hebrew numbering. Now, by universal agreement, we have accepted the Hebrew numbering. So that's why we get the confusion of the number of the psalm and in brackets another number. So by universal agreement, we will accept the Hebrew, even though there was always 150. But see, Psalm 10 got broken into 10 and 11. So that threw everything out by one for a while.
So, but that was after Vatican II, was it in the 1960s, or when was that, the agreement?
It could have been round about then we decided to have universal agreement on the psalm numbering. Yeah. So that was, that makes things a lot easier for us. Right. Okay. The other interesting thing, of course, is you do not have rhyme in the poetry of the Bible. What you do have is parallelism. If you say something and then you say it in another way in the next line, the earth belongs to the Lord and everything in it, the world and those who dwell in it. The same thing is being said. That's synthetic parallelism. Synthesis?
Yes.
Then you have antithetic, where the opposite. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So, yes.
We'll hear about the parallels, and we'll hear about this beautiful language, and we'll get to understand more about the Psalms, and because they are usually in the Catholic Church between the first reading and the second reading. And some churches, they sing them, and others, they pray the Psalms together. And in some churches, it is read, but it's part of the service. And it is often like a connector between the two readings. But we will hear more about it when we go in the four interviews through all the four sessions. And so thank you very much, Brother Karen. And to reiterate this, the series will start on the 5th of July. It's a Monday, so we're going to have another Monday series from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And this will be on the Psalms. We'll include music from Father Chris Skinner. And for more information, please look at our website at www.studyjoy.nz. And so I wish you a good Friday, a blessed week ahead, and I'll see you soon, Brother Karen.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, as the Psalms all end, the whole of the book.
Thank you very much, Brother Karen.
Okay, right. Good.
Out there, peace is calling, in the bonds of love we meet, for the world and